In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Before this workshop, I had heard of Hildegard of Bingen, but I never really paid any attention. I was somewhat turned off by the New Age movement infatuation with her. She was their femme fatale of herbs and potions. But I am mistaken. It is so unfair that this very spiritual, Christ-centered Catholic religious sister has been hijacked by secular ideologies. Similar to St. Francis of Assisi, who is the secularist patron saint of nature, terrariums, sandals, and hippies. Nothing could be further from the truth. No, St. Hildegard of Bingen was one of the wise virgins talked about in today's gospel. Let me say a few words about the gospel. A few times I read this gospel, I was somewhat confused, and I thought, well, why aren't these women who aren't prepared, they're asking for help, why aren't those who are prepared helping them? They're not showing any charity. Where's their charity? But it's not a parable about charity. It's a parable about being prepared to get to heaven. And if we don't do our own work in this life, when it comes time for judgment, nobody in their charity can help us. Because at that point, it's been our decision, it's our life, it's our responsibility, and we can't make any more excuses before the throne of our judge. And so this parable is one of saying, okay, if you love the bridegroom, and he is the most central part of your life, then you better be prepared for him to come. And one of the most shocking lines of all is that when these other virgins, who at least did try and got some oil, they come to the door of the wedding feast and they say, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. But he said to them in reply, Amen, I say to you, I do not know you. They're chilling words. I do not know you. They try, but they didn't do everything they were supposed to. And they put other things before their bridegroom, and so they are the ones who literally missed the flight when the door was closed. And so we must be prepared. A person like Hildegard of Bingen is a woman who was prepared. She's amazing. I did some research before this, and there's just no way I could really describe her adequately in one sermon. She was born around 1098. She died on September 17th, this very day, in 1179. That's 843 years ago. Wikipedia describes her this way. She was a German Benedictine abbess who was a polymath. Now, I have to admit, in all humility, which is a very rare virtue of mine, that I had no idea what a polymath was. And I looked it up, and I guess you could say she was a Renaissance woman before there was a Renaissance. She was a doctor of all trades and got into everything. She was a writer of spiritual works and theology. She composed music, some of which we are singing today. There are many surviving chants by Hildegard, more than by any other composer from the entire Middle Ages. And she is known as one of the few composers to have written both the music and the words in her works. I've also read that of all the people of the Middle Ages, her music is the most recorded in modern times. But a few other things about her. She was a philosopher. She actually went around to different abbeys to preach. She was a mystic, had mystical experiences her whole life, a visionary that could see what was coming and prepare for it. She invented a language called the lingua ignota for her nuns to practice learning a language more than what they knew. She founded two monasteries, Rupertsburg in 1150 and Ebingen in 1165. Pope Benedict XVI extended her liturgical cultus to the entire Catholic Church in a process known as equivalent canonization. She was seen as a saint in many local areas, so he didn't canonize her, he have just stated to the whole world that she is a saint and established her feast day today. And he did this back in October of 2012, and also declared her a doctor of the church. Hildegard gave her whole heart and soul to our Lord Jesus Christ. She became his bride. She left the world behind, and by entering into Christ with this deep sacrificial love, she was able to accomplish a great deal. She left the world to enter fully into Christ, and yet by this act of denial and sacrifice of worldly things, she was able to influence the world more than worldly people. Unless a grain of wheat be buried and die, it cannot produce food. I'd like to mention three short things, just little things to take home with us. Number one, she had a deep love of Christ and a very intense and active prayer relationship with the Lord. That's important for every single one of us. We can never take our faith for granted. We can never do it by rote, in an automatic way. We must renew it every day by an act of love and a deeper prayer life every single day. From the time she was a little child, she encountered these mystical experiences, and she called them the umbra viventis lucis, the reflection of the living light. Let me quote. This is from her words. From my early childhood, before my bones, nerves, and veins were fully strengthened, I have always seen this vision in my soul, even to the present time, when I am more than 70 years old. In this vision, my soul, as God would have it, rises up high into the vault of heaven and into the changing sky and spreads itself out among different peoples. Although they are far away from me in distant lands and places, and because I see them this way in my soul, I observe them in accord with the shifting of clouds and other created things. I do not hear them with my outward ears, nor do I perceive them by the thoughts of my own heart or by any combination of my five senses, but in my soul alone, while my outward eyes are open. So I have never fallen prey to ecstasy in these visions, but I see them wide awake, day and night, and I am constantly fettered by sickness and often in the grip of pain, so intense that it threatens to kill me. But God has sustained me until now, a sacrificial victim, sharing in Christ's sufferings for the good of others. The light which I see thus is not spatial, but it is far, far brighter than a cloud which carries the sun. I can measure neither height nor length nor breadth in it, and I call it the reflection of the living light. And as the sun, the moon, and the stars appear in water, so writings, sermons, virtues, and certain human actions take form from me and gleam. I must say I've never had a sermon come that way, but it would be convenient once in a while. So Hildegard, number one, is a loving soul, a victim for Christ, who was caught up in these visions to be his sacrificial victim. Number two, she praised God through sacred music and the words that she wrote. How important sacred music is, we've talked about all week. That it is the place where mystery and reality meet, and it opens our soul so that the graces of God can enter in, and they can, in a way, ruminate through our soul and open our heart and our mind to the things of God. Number three, of her many works is the Shibias, and it's a contraction of three words, Shibias Domini, know the ways of the Lord. In this document, she wrote down 26 of her visionary experiences, and we have all of them today. This did not fill her with pride to leave the church and do her own thing or set out on her own or contradict the faith and the truths of our faith. It made her an even more faithful servant of her Lord. From this flowed monastic work, sacred music, medical research for the good of others, working in medicine and herbs to help cure people's sicknesses. Hildegard was not a success because she left Christ and the church and had a worldly career. It's precisely because she entered into Christ and left the world that she was able to do all that she did. So those three things to take home with us. She had an active prayer life and a great deep spiritual relationship with her Lord. She praised God through sacred music and worship. And her life was Shivas. She was there, Stivias, to know the ways of the Lord. And oh, how much we need to do that. I close with the words of today's chant at communion written by St. Hildegard. Love abounds in all. Love, capital L, God. From the depths exalted and excelling our every star, and to the highest King, the kiss of peace we give. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.